She lowered her end of the gurney onto the carpeted floor, covered in dust and debris, and put her hand on the handle of the door, resisting the temptation to even reach for the keypad, which she almost did from habit. The handle gave easily, and the heavy door swung open on a well-oiled hinge.
I wouldn't have believed it, especially as everything else down here still seems to be working.
She noted the hum of the air conditioning and the dim glow of the lights, indicating that presumably the freezers were still working.
Bones reckoned that the generators were something special to have worked this long after Skydark and were well protected down here. But the door must have had some heavy trauma during Skydark that fused the mechanism.
But it's so untouched.
Mildred stared in awe. From previous experience, she would have expected it to have long since been looted. Michaela shrugged.
Like I told you, once it was discovered, no one came here on the orders of the Baron. And before that, well, I guess no one really looked, because it just seemed to be an empty building.
Mildred shook her head. She was damn sure that she would have had the curiosity to look, but maybe they just didn't breed them that way in Pleasantville.
Come on, let's get to it.
The two women picked up the gurney and walked down the narrow stairway that led into the med labs. As they reached the bottom, Mildred whistled long and low. The labs extended the length of the block and carried on beneath all the buildings that surrounded the upper office through which they had entered. Lit by overhead fluorescent tubes, the floors were covered by functional polyvinyl flooring, on which had been laid a number of workbenches with sinks and fuel outlets. Many of the benches still had retorts and test tubes seated on them. Some of the floor space was partitioned off for offices or secured lab areas, and sec locks on the doors indicated the degree of danger that they may represent. At the far end from the entrance stood the freezers, behind gleaming metal doors with sec locks that were still blinking LED displays above their keypads.
You know the codes to those locks?
Oh yeah, I know them.
Then what the hell are we waiting for?
She and Michaela carried the armorer the length of the med labs and into one of the side offices, setting him down gently.
Now let's get to it.
Mildred led Michaela toward the freezers. The spiky-haired healer stood at the sec door and punched a six-figure code into the keypad in front of her. There was a hiss of air as the seal on the door cracked and the handle gave under her hand. The heavy metal door, thickly insulated, came free as she tugged, and Mildred looked over Michaela's shoulder to view the riches within. Metal compartments lined the walls, leaving a metal floor space large enough to work in, with a metal table in the middle. The lighting overhead was harsh and functional. Mildred moved past Michaela and studied the drawers. Inserted in a slot on every drawer was a small piece of card with a name or a chemical formula written on it. Some were in blue ink, some in black. Obviously, they were changed as the contents of the drawers changed, and she was a little surprised to see that not only were they as bright and unfaded as on the day they were written, but also that they were handwritten, not computer printouts. It was a small reminder of the people, long since gone, who had worked here before the nuke cost. People who had lived at the same time as she, knew the same TV shows and records, drove the same cars. A pang went through her, not of nostalgia exactly, but a sadness for things past, for something she missed but hadn't time to think about, for people who she may even have dealt with in her time as a hospital intern, in her previous life.
Mildred, are you all right?
Mildred snapped out of her trance and began to scan the cards on the metal drawers once more. She didn't want to enter into an explanation that would take too long and raise too many questions.
It's nothing. Nothing that we got time for right now.
It took her a few moments to find the drawer she required, holding her breath, praying that Ethan hadn't taken all the supplies of the infectious bacteria. She gently opened the metal drawer, which gave easily on its tempered metal runner. Inside, there were six spaces in a padded interior for small bottles, four of which were empty, but two were occupied. Mildred carefully removed one of the bottles and read the label. It seemed to be the right stuff, but there was only one way to be sure. Moving quickly and assuredly, as though Michaela weren't even there, Mildred headed into the main body of the lab and went to one of the benches. There was a microscope on it, which she tested to see if it was still working.
You know where everything is in here?
When Michaela nodded, she went on, holding out the bottle.
Prepare me a slide of this.
She waited while the young woman moved around the lab, preparing the slide, which she then mounted under the microscope. Mildred focused it and saw the culture that she recognized so well.
That's it. Get me a hypodermic and a needle. The sooner I get this done, the better.
She watched impatiently while Michaela prepared a hypodermic and then handed it to her. Mildred examined the contents, flicked it, then released the trapped air. Without a word, she moved into the office where they had left JB and knelt over him, rolling up his sleeve, then flicking a vein. She double-checked the hypodermic, took an educated guess at how much he would need, as she had no real way of knowing, and then plunged the needle into his arm, praying that she had guessed right. She straightened away from him, letting his arm drop, and noticed that Michaela was watching her, biting her lower lip.
What now?
Now, we just sit and wait.
There was nothing else she could do. Mildred checked her watch once more. It would be dark outside by now, and she wondered how the other companions were faring in the hunt. Even if John recovered, and she hadn't been too late, it would still take him some time to recover from the effects of his illness. The three of them wouldn't be much good, and she wasn't even sure if she could count on Michaela. The healer had been as good as her word so far, but it was a big step from running away into the old city to fighting against her baron. Mildred moved uncomfortably. Right now, Michaela was asleep, whimpering to herself at some bad dream. The young woman wasn't used to the kind of danger and intensity that the trip to the ruins with Mildred had turned out to be. Actually, the good Dr. Wyeth could have easily done without the excitement. Michaela was exhausted, and when Mildred had told her that all they could do was wait for JB's crisis to pass, all life seemed to have drained from the young girl. The two of them had settled themselves in the corner of the office, Mildred with JB's Uzi close at hand, just in case they had been followed. It was unlikely, but she hadn't come this far to get caught napping. They had then eaten some of the self-heats that were always carried by the companions. Michaela had protested at how foul they were, not used to the artificial taste of the food, but she had still eaten every last scrap. She was too hungry to turn down food, even if that food was 100 years old. After she had washed the taste away with some water, she had felt a torpor creep over her. As they had settled in the corner, sleep had gradually claimed her. Mildred let the girl slump down onto her. There was nothing that she could do right now, so why not let the girl rest? But now Mildred was starting to get a cramp, and she was also starting to get the itch of impatience. She needed to get over to JB to see how he was doing. Slowly, she edged out from under the sleeping woman, holding her head so that it didn't fall to the floor with a thud. She used her bundled coat as a pillow, and laid Michaela's head down gently on it before getting painfully to her feet, the cramp making her wince as the circulation was restored to her lower limbs. She went over to where JB lay. She crouched, ignoring her protesting muscles, and checked his vital signs. The armorer had been quiet since she had administered the injection, and he was still silent, except for the slight whistle in his breath as he continued to respire deeply and evenly. His pulse was strong and even, a little fast, but still slower than before. All the signs were that the effect was positive, but there was no way of being sure until he opened his eyes. His temperature was down, but that could just be because he had entered a later stage of the illness. Hell, he may even have infected her and Michaela. No, that was unlikely. The worst thing was not knowing whether she had overdosed him, or whether the disease had already had a chance to damage his brain, impair any of his functions. She let his hand drop after taking his pulse and looked away from him. If it was too late for JB, then what could she and Michaela do against a whole vill? She was suddenly aware that she was holding JB's hand again. It was the armorer who was gripping her hand, not vice versa. Mildred looked down at him, the astonishment plain on her face.
A dark night, and I thought you'd be pleased.